Today is Monday, January 6th. What to know today about Iran's response to the U.S. airstrike and how celebrities are helping efforts to fight wildfires in Australia. Plus, we're talking about the world's largest tech show, the big winners at the Golden Globes, and the future of fundraising. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. New fallout in the Middle East after the U.S. killed a top Iranian general last week. In response, Iran is now promising revenge and potentially ramping up its nuclear program, while Iraq is on the verge of telling U.S. troops to get out. And President Trump is responding to both. There's a lot to unpack here, and even this will be the shorter version. But first, a quick reminder. President Trump ordered a drone strike to kill a powerful Iranian military commander, General Qassem Soleimani. The Pentagon says Soleimani was planning attacks against Americans, and he's responsible for an attack on a U.S. embassy and the death of hundreds of U.S. troops in the past. Now, CBS News reports, hundreds of thousands of Iranians have gathered to mourn Soleimani's death, and the government there is calling for revenge. Exactly what that means isn't quite clear, but President Trump hit back, saying if needed, the U.S. could attack 52 sites in Iran, quote, very fast and very hard, including cultural sites. The AP says Trump dismissed any warnings that targeting cultural sites could be a war crime under international law. And there's more. Iran's government also says it'll no longer go along with the rules of the 2015 nuclear agreement, basically meaning Iran could potentially start producing and gathering the materials needed for a nuclear bomb. There's fallout in Iraq as well, because while Soleimani was an Iranian leader, he was actually killed in Iraq on their soil, along with a top Iraqi militia commander. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports Iraqi lawmakers voted to kick out the more than 5,000 U.S. troops in the country. That said, the resolution is not finalized yet, and it's not really clear how much power it ultimately has. Still, Trump responded, saying the U.S. will not leave unless Iraq pays billions of dollars for the airbase the U.S. built there. By the way, the American-led fight against ISIS in Iraq and Syria is now on hold. The military says it now needs to focus on protecting its own troops and bases instead. Back in the U.S., lawmakers are still divided over all of this, some praising Trump's decision to kill Soleimani, calling him a terrorist leader, but others are concerned about the consequences we're seeing now, and they say Trump needed Congress to approve that kind of attack first, and he didn't. Stay tuned for updates. Unfortunately, there's another attack to tell you about. The terror group Al-Shabaab attacked a key military base in Kenya, leaving three Americans dead. NPR reports one of the victims was a U.S. service member, while the other two were contractors with the Pentagon. Several U.S. helicopters and vehicles were also destroyed. Celebrities are getting involved to raise money and awareness to help those dealing with massive wildfires in Australia. Actress Nicole Kidman and her husband singer Keith Urban, who both have ties to Australia, said they would be donating $500,000 to the New South Wales Fire Service. Singer Pink also pledged $500,000 to local fire departments there. And other stars are posting to Instagram and other places online, encouraging their followers to donate. The BBC says a fundraiser in Australia collected $13 million in just 48 hours. Remember, there are nearly 200 fires still burning across the country. Millions of acres have burned and thousands of people have had to evacuate. CBS News says at least 23 people and an estimated 500 million wild animals have died. If you want to help, you can donate to the Australian Red Cross or many other organizations. We'll put a link in today's show notes with some recommendations. Vince Carter of the Atlanta Hawks just made history. ESPN says he is now the first player in NBA history to suit up in four different decades. He played his first NBA game in 1999. Now, as he plays in his 22nd NBA season, he's the longest tenured NBA player ever. CNN says he's also the oldest player in the league right now at age 42. In his prime, he was nicknamed Vinsanity for his sensational dunks. Carter has said this will be his final season in the NBA. The massive tech event known as CES kicks off this week. CES is short for Consumer Electronics Show. It happens every year in Las Vegas, and it's the time where the world's leading tech companies and manufacturers show off their latest and greatest gadgets. TechCrunch says home technology is expected to dominate this year, with connected home locks, ovens, fridges, and washing machines taking center stage. We can also expect to hear about foldable phones, 8K smart TVs, and faster 5G cell service. We could hear something about Samsung's so-called artificial human project as well. The Verge says it's a realistic human avatar that could be used for entertainment or business purposes, perhaps as a guide or receptionist. The event technically started yesterday, but the big-name companies will hold media events today, and the showroom floor opens tomorrow. Of course, we'll keep you updated with all the new tech announcements this week. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, I'm excited about our new sponsor this week, Rothy's. Have you heard about this company yet? Rothy's makes stylish shoes for women and girls out of, get this, recycled plastic water bottles. But let me tell you, they look great and they are so, so comfortable. When they say no break-in period, that literally means comfortable right out of the box. I can speak from experience. They are super stylish, comfortable, and even machine washable. I don't own a lot of flats other than sandals, but now because of Rothy's, I'm a huge fan. I got a bright red pair of flats from the Merino collection that are so fun to wear for a pop of color while still looking professional and polished. They have all different colors and styles, by the way, and I love that I can dress them up or down and be comfortable all day or night. Check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. Go to rothys.com, that's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy to get yourself your new favorite flats. Comfort, style, and sustainability, they are the shoes you have been waiting for. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy today. Now back to the news. Well, going back to tech, some companies started making announcements in the days leading up to CES, and Samsung is one of them. Samsung also announced it'll be unveiling its first phones of 2020 at a Samsung event on February 11th. Industry experts expect Samsung to release the Galaxy S11 in three sizes, as well as another foldable phone. CNET says the Galaxy S11 is rumored to run on 5G. Stay tuned. It was a big weekend for singles. CNET says Sunday was the busiest online dating day of the year, with people signing up, matching, or messaging each other on dating services. Match.com expected to have an 80% increase in its users' activity. So why the uptick? Well, dating app Bumble tells CNN it has to do with New Year's resolutions, post-holiday breakups, and Valentine's Day is coming up. In fact, a 2019 Stanford study found meeting online is now the most popular way couples meet. The movie Frozen 2 is now the highest-grossing animated movie in history. Variety says the movie brought in more than $1 billion, beating the original Frozen and The Incredibles 2. It's Disney's sixth 2019 release to surpass $1 billion in ticket sales. And Disney's Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker is on its way to becoming Disney's seventh billion-dollar film, which will be the most billion-dollar films for one studio within 1 year. Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker was also the winner at the box office over the weekend. Last night's Golden Globe celebrated some of the best movies and TV shows of the past year. The LA Times says it was a big night for the World War I epic 1917, surprising some as it beat out Netflix favorites and took home Best Picture and Best Director. In fact, Netflix had a pretty disappointing night overall, despite having the most nominations going into the award show. The movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won the most awards of any movie. It won Best Comedy, Screenplay, and Supporting Actor. On the TV side, HBO won the night, Succession won Best Drama, and Chernobyl won Best Limited Series. Amazon's Fleabag won Best TV Comedy. Ellen DeGeneres and Tom Hanks received special honors last night for their contributions to TV and entertainment. Actor Ricky Gervais was the host. You can see the full list of winners in today's show notes. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Money Monday, where we talk about one interesting money-related news story you should know. Today, we're talking about the future of fundraising. The Washington Post says live streams are the new telethons. In the 70s and 80s, telethons were used to bring in donations for charities. Think celebrities performing on live TV and even answering phone calls while the public called in with their donations. But now that's changing with the rise of video game live streaming. Charity organizations have partnered up with popular streamers to run auctions and offer prizes to get digital viewers to donate. In fact, these so-called digital telethons have become so popular on the world's leading live streaming platform, Twitch, the Post says $75 million have been raised between 2012 and 2017. Now, The Verge says new technology is popping up to make these online events even easier. All right, thank you so much for listening today. And a heads up, I'll be talking about morning routines just for fun over on Instagram today at Erica Mandy News. Later this morning, I'll post some research-backed ideas for happier, more productive mornings in 2020 and share a few things I always like to do for my mornings. I would love to connect with you there on Instagram. And of course, I appreciate you making the Newsworthy part of your morning or daily routine each weekday. As always, you can read more about any of the news stories we talked about today in your podcast app or thenewsworthy.com/show notes. The Newsworthy is ready for you to listen every weekday by 4 in the morning. I'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.